And I like how they've brought like an old tree and they've made it puppet and it looks like Tommy Lee Jones. Boosted my charisma, that.
Great. Boosted your charisma.
Typical Voynger, the big V.
So what? So, I mean,
big fucking eye.
Wizard Sleeve!
Welcome to Wizard Sleeve. Issue 27, I think.
Is it?
Yeah, I think it's episode 27.
Fair enough.
Yeah. 26 more than I expected.
Most of optimism there from Daz.
Yeah, as you can tell by the familiar voice, Daz is here.
Yes.
At my 12 o'clock.
Yes, I am. Hello.
And Daz is 3 o'clock, and my 9 o'clock. Is Steve Hutchinson.
Fuck off.
Yes. That was the quickest fuck off yet.
I think that was the first thing I've said.
Fuck off, like. Oh, yes. And we're recording on May the 4th.
Star Trek Day.
So it's Star Trek Day. And we're not even going to mention that other film series once.
No. We always end up doing it at some point, but yeah. We'll try. We should have... Get the...
I think you should. Speaking of that, I think you should go back and out of the 27 episodes, find out how many Batman references we've done.
Just do a Batman compilation.
Fucking back to Batman.
Anyway, this is what happens whenever we mention the other film franchise.
Right. Okay. Our friends.
And we have to stop instantly.
I don't know. I was going to ask them what are the pencil cases for, but then I've just realised the actually your
that's
mic
what the
cases.
Mic,
yeah.
That's what the mic's coming. Yeah.
I just thought you had we'll
just
lots,
move
lots of pencils out for some bizarre
some
reason.
Spirograph.
Exciting radio.
We've also got a new table as well this week.
Mm. It has
so
a
roof. We're all like from we're all sort of an equal distance from each other.
It's exceedingly more professional than it looks on the episode one, which was around Daz's staying table with different height chairs. And one microphone between four people.
Yeah. Look at us now.
Yeah, we're all at the same level now.
Although today's content may hark back to the early episodes where we had no sort of structure whatsoever. Granted, the structure's, you know what I mean, it's not, it doesn't actually stay.
It helps to know where the path is, though.
It does.
It's like
it does.
Rough guideline.
We can always get back to it. Instead of just going off at complete tangents.
Right.
Some of our best work.
Should we...
work. It is art.
Should we begin?
Yeah.
With It or Shit.
Kids.
Teases and trailers, Michael Bay's failures, we never asked for this. It or Shit.
I can't write that down.
Write it on your coaster. Pencil case.
Oh, there's no real
it's my case.
I was fooled then. Right, It's Our Shit. Fuck it, I'll figure it out.
Right.
So what's first on It's Our Shit, Steve?
Well, Louis, they've remade Ben-Hur.
What's Ben-Hur?
It's like a classic kind of biblical epic. It's not a biblical epic because it's not a story from the Bible, but it's set in those times, and it's sort of it was made in the era when all those films were knocking about, like up to Spartacus and all the others. Greatest story ever told. It was all, you know.
Mm.
I think they did Ten Commandments as well, and Ben-Hur was like one of them. I think there's an early version of Ben-Hur that was made in like the '20s though. I'll have to look that up.
Apparently, about right. The 59 Ben-Hur, if there is a one prior to it,
yeah,
was the most expensive film made at its time. I think it was like 15 million, the budget, at 1959.
Fucking hell, Kevin Smith can't even knock out a film for that much now.
Yeah. Well, Ben, you'll regret that.
Why?
When he's a guest, when he's scraping barrel. Ooh. I might regret that as well.
Fucking all right, you say something disparaging, Daz, and then we'll never have him on.
Well, I was just going to say, what do you call it? We will be scraping the barrel.
Fucking that's what you get, Smith. That's a triple threat of wizard sleeve.
I don't know, fucking Jason Mew sat in the chair.
Oh, God. He's been
smacked off his tits. Anyway. the remade Ben-Hur, and it looks like it was made on a $15 million budget nowadays.
£15 budget.
Eh?
£15 budget.
It's like there's all this kind of like CGI green screen shit constantly.
Very beigey looking.
Yeah, it's just like it's like kind of over stylized and it's just it just looks rubbish. It looks like Men in Black on horseback.
But Men in Black's good.
Eh?
But Men in Black's
good. I mean visually.
Right,
it's like very fast paced action by looks things. There's no like
who are the actors in it? It's the guy from
Morgan Freeman's in it.
Put Morgan in a film and it'll make it good.
That works.
When you hear his silky voice.
But the other guy who was I think people expected him to be famous. Do you know he was in Dead Man's Shoes? And he was in Rock and Roller, like one of Guy Ritchie's
gangster. He's films. Not playing Ben-Hur though, is he?
No. But I think he's like a pretty prominent
his brother
character or something. Bob Hur.
Bob Hur.
Bob Hur.
Jeff Hur.
Jeff Hur. But do you know what I mean though? Like, because he was like I don't know, he was one of those actors that I thought was going to become famous, and now he's doing a fucking £15,000 Ben-Hur.
No, I mean, I didn't like, I hated Rock and Roller.
Okay.
I hate virtually all the Guy Ritchie films.
Sherlock?
No, I quite liked Sherlock Holmes. Mm. Second one was a bit flat, but the first one was good, I thought. But Guy Ritchie didn't write that.
Right, okay.
It's like other ones that he's written and directed. I just don't like his writing.
Okay.
I got distracted for a moment. It was Guy Ritchie, as he wrote and directed Ben-Hur.
No.
Sorry, I got distracted and then you're on a...
We got onto...
the actor from
Ben-Hur. The actor from Ben-Hur.
Oh, right, fair enough.
Rock and Roll.
Fair enough.
That was it.
I was just saying, I thought he was going to become a famous actor. But then he's doing this.
This might be his big break, you never know.
I think he's had his big break.
You had your chance.
He's outvested already.
I don't think it'll do a great deal at the box office, to be fair. No,
because it doesn't look special in any way.
No.
This could be the first one where I've got a jingle for.
It looks like a kind of factory line, you know, typical...
Straight to DVD.
Yeah, I mean, it comes out in the cinema for 2 weeks and then... comes out on DVD.
Dies on its ass.
Yeah, and then just you never hear it again. You know, there's been few films in recent
years that have King Arthur.
What kind of person goes to see that though at the cinema? Besides JT.
I think, I don't know, men who think they want to prove their masculinity or something. And
would you take a date to see Ben-Hur remake? Would you take an enemy to go see Ben-Hur the remake?
I'd take them, but I'd drop them off and pick them up afterwards.
That's nice of you. I'd pick them up afterwards.
Well, you've got to keep your enemies closer, haven't you?
Right, I think we're going off on one again.
Ben-Hur, just
shit.
Too many special effects, not enough.
Uninteresting, and the original's probably far better.
Yeah. So,
well, like you said, it's supposed to be a classic, and they've remade a classic.
Yeah. So, I'm going to say shit.
Daz?
I concur. I think it'll be shit. Yeah. It'll be shit.
And I think it's shit. I don't have a financial shit sound effect, though.
Shit! Well, that's the thing, because usually we go over to Steve at this point and go, I think it'll be a financial hit, though.
I don't think this will, though.
No.
Can you guesstimate what it'll make?
Can I estimate?
Yeah.
What was the budget of it, do you know? Top of your head.
I can find out.
Do one of those fucking stupid things where it does make a ridiculous amount of money now.
Yeah.
Is it...
Because Pete, our listeners will now go and watch it.
I don't think...
And make its money back like that.
So two people go and watch it.
Yeah, oh, it's an expensive night out.
I just don't think people are as easily fooled anymore. You know, like you mentioned King Arthur.
Yeah.
People were fooled by that because it was like, oh, it's like, what if King Arthur was, you know, was like real and stuff, and it wasn't all terrible, and it wasn't all like Camelot and, you know, dragons and stuff. Let's make it really gritty. Let's do like a Batman Begins with it. I don't think Batman Begins was even out at the time.
It's one of those things because it's not even. Because don't get me wrong, it's a bad film. But it's just so boring as well.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing... I mean, I've seen it, but there is nothing that sticks in my head about it.
It was actually more... It was on the back of Braveheart, wasn't it, that it got made? Yeah. It was several years after Braveheart, but they tried to make a Braveheart, but with King Arthur. Yeah. And it's like, but that's the, you know, that's not the traditional story of King Arthur. You want to see magic and... If they did it now, they would, because things like Game of Thrones have come along.
Yeah.
Where
open the way again.
Where it's opened it up to people believing in magic in films, you know. Cause at one time, it would have seemed like a bit hokey and like, oh god, you know, would have been a bit shit. But now people they seem to be able to get the balance right. And Game of Thrones, I think, has done that because they get the balance really right in that.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of things that are coming out are informed by things like Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Even Macbeth, the recent Macbeth one, you know, they set it in the traditional time, which is like more medieval and more has that kind of look about it.
Mm. Well, again, Game of Thrones, you're never quite sure whether, because up to a point, obviously, there's no dragons and one thing and another.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're never quite sure whether it's just stories. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And what's interesting is that the characters in it, they don't believe in shit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So... You're kind of given this grounding, and then when you see a dragon for the first time, you're like, fucking hell, that's a dragon.
Yeah.
You know, you're as surprised as everyone else.
Does it tell you the budget anywhere, specifically online? I can't find it anywhere.
It normally tells you on IMDb.
Right, okay.
You don't just Google Ben-Hur budget.
Yeah, but, like...
They don't want to tell anyone.
It's a fucking mystery. I'll just put that... So I am the IMDb, it'll tell me. I know this is great radio for people to know, but everyone is at home. I want people to guess how much how much do you reckon it probably costs?
Send in your answers.
I'm going to say around 120 million.
What will it say?
Production details or something like that.
More?
Yeah.
Tax packs? No. I don't think they want people to know. It's not there, is it?
No.
That means that it's going to be... They know it's going to be shit.
Yeah.
If they're already hiding... I'm just on the Forbes website. Ben-Hur trailer emphasises action, not Jesus.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. This is really annoying. Some message boards on the IMDb for it are, is there any way this will be good? Morgan Freeman isn't Arab or even close.
What?
I still got my budget.
Do anything?
You what?
What's that got to do with anything?
Which one?
Morgan Freeman isn't an Arab.
Or even close.
Hmm?
Or even close.
Is he supposed to be an Arab in the film?
I wouldn't have thought so. Got dreadlocks.
Fucking hell. You're right. It's not for...
Fuck it. It'll be shit anyway.
It'll be shit.
Right, okay, next.
Next one.
The Killing Joke.
Yeah.
The animated adaptation of the comic book of the same name.
Mm.
Or graphic novel, I guess.
Tell us what it's about.
Killing Joke?
Mm.
Spoilers.
God, I can't remember.
And to be fair, if you don't know what happens in The Killing Joke, you shouldn't be listening to this podcast.
I get confused with all these Batman joke ones. Is this the one where he becomes the Joker?
Oops, yeah, and he shoots Barbara Gordon in the spine.
Is this the one where he starts off with a red hood?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Shoots Barbara Gordon in the spine, sort of thing. It's very early in his career. Just, yeah, completely fucks with Commissioner Gordon. Ties him up naked in a fucking abandoned fairground and just basically tries to make him crack and stuff, don't it?
Who's playing Gordon this?
I've got no idea, to be honest with you.
Is it? I mean, the last one, they did year one, didn't they? And that was Bryan Cranston played Gordon.
Yeah.
He was good at it.
Mm.
You see Cranston as Gordon. Have you heard like in real life.
They've announced the guy that's playing Gordon in the Justice League, haven't they? Oh, sorry, the next Batman movie or whatever it is.
Yeah, I can't remember who it was, though.
Yeah. It was a bit dead to hurt, though.
But, when I saw this was coming out, I thought, oh, you know, that should be, because, like, thinking back to the, because I used to watch the Batman animated show, but I've not watched it for years, but I still remember what it looked like and the animation and stuff, obviously seeing clips and stuff.
Well,
like
we watched them a bit early, didn't we?
Yeah. And I was expecting that, but the animation just looks really lazy and,
Yeah, like, because in that show, all the backgrounds were painted. Yeah. And even though they weren't mega detailed, there was still some effort and some, like, something going on in the background while everything in this is just sort of flat, drab colours.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Oh, what do you call it, an artistic ethic in the Batman TV show? Everything fitted together and it was all just...
Yeah, it was all that kind of, like, airbrushed kind of look and the sort of Art Nouveau type, you know, shapes and everything that were going on. It was all, you know, it was stylized.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, but everything was, and I just don't know. This, like I said to you, Steve, it just all looks like it's been computer animated, which, it, to be fair, it probably has.
Yeah.
But.
Sorry.
No. With it, I don't know, it just loses something. And again, there's bits in it where it looks worse than other bits. Yeah. And
it looks a bit like a kind of student project.
Yeah. I don't like the Joker's area.
It's a bit kind of flat and it's just, it's not dynamic at all.
I thought you'd be really against this movie. Not because of the art, but the fact that, do you know when there's like a comic book movie?
Yeah.
And you say, why do people want to watch the comic version movie? This is literally.
Yeah. Like, I know. It's closer. And I still think it's a bit silly, but I think I just...
But can it get away with it more because it's animated?
Well, maybe, yeah. But I like the visual style of the Batman cartoon. So I thought they might be bringing it to life in that way.
It's more like the...
But they seem to have fallen short of it somehow.
Well, they're sort of all becoming like that now anyway, especially the Justice League ones.
Mm.
And the,
like, they're rushing, like they're churning them out, you know.
They're always good, though, the DC ones. The artwork's not always brilliant and, like, movie-worthy, but they're always good stories. Mm. The Justice League movies are mint.
Yeah.
That's, you know, if Zack Snyder's listening, watch them and see what they do before you make any rash decisions, Zack, you know.
And then quit the movie industry.
Yeah, then kill yourself, please.
That's somebody else we're never going to have in the chair now. Fucking hell.
What would we say to Zack Snyder besides, stop it now?
Stop making films!
Stop ruining fucking franchises, you arsehole. Fucking hell, it kills Man of Steel and fucking Batman.
So I'm going to say shit for this because it looks shit.
I'm going to say hit because it's Batman.
Where do you draw the line with quality?
It's not got though yet. Although, have you seen the Batman black and white shots? Where they're literally like images of the comic page. It's like the dialogue coming up and then it just cuts to the next panel. It's basically like lazy comic reading.
They did a Silent Hill one of them, but I've got it for the PSP.
Weird.
Like, living comic book sort of thing. Oh, it's proper laser. I don't know. It's difficult. I wait till I see the entire thing. Because I don't think it's the... To be fair, I don't think it's the best cut together trailer.
No, the trailer.
To show it, because the music's terrible in it.
Yeah.
And one thing or another. So I'll wait see. Because, again, like Lou said, the DC animations usually are pretty good.
Has this been made by the same company, or has it been made by an independent?
Don't know. But they usually are same sort of like group, I think. Yeah. I mean, it's all Warner Brothers, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. It just doesn't look artistic enough. You know, they could have really made it look really cool, but they've clearly not spent enough time on it.
Mm. But Mark Hamill's back again after retirement.
Yeah, just so you know, I'm just on IMDb, and there are only, according to it, 4 cast members.
Who's playing the... What?
There's Kevin Conroy as, obviously, Batman. Ray Wise as Gordon.
Who's Ray Wise? Is he a famous man?
Wise old Ray.
Oh, fucking Twin Peaks dad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark Hamill, obviously. And Tara Strong as Batgirl. It won't tell me who plays anyone else, because I want him to know who fucking played Alfred.
Oh, yeah.
I don't... It doesn't sound right.
Well, no,
that's not Conroy's butler.
I bet his name on Wikipedia is unclickable.
Whoever it is. It's a massive conspiracy. to keep the darker details about the killing joke under wraps.
Oh, God. Daz, it's all shit.
I don't know. It's a difficult one, because I'm... At this point in time...
This is it, like the trailer could be crap. I mean, the trailer's crap, but the show could be good.
Well, that's my problem.
Because we already know the story. And
yeah.
And Mark Hamill's in it. And Conroy. I'm quite excited, because the killing joke isn't canon, is it? It's it's an origin story of the Joker, but there isn't officially an origin story for him. Right. I don't think they'll ever officially do that. There's too many fucking timelines now anyway, but it's weird to me that they've chose Conroy and him if it's an alternate universe. Because now it's sort of saying that in the animated universe, if it is part of the other
animated universe, canon.
Because Conroy, it's now canon.
Yeah. But hadn't Conroy stopped doing the voices in the... He's not been the most recent Batman and stuff, has he? I'm sure it weren't him in Assault on Arkham and stuff.
I don't think he did that one, but he has done another one. Oh, he did. He didn't do Year One. That was what's his name from OC, wasn't it? The guy that plays Gordon. Yeah. Ironically,
that's what I mean. It's I'm sure Conroy had took a break, sort of thing, or the So maybe they've got him back as a nod to the fans or something.
Like
Hamill. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no one else wants to hear somebody else be the Joker. While he's the Joker. He's perfect.
What do you mean, while he's still alive?
While he's still alive. While he's still getting his paycheck.
You know, that's why he's back. It's about how he dies in the first 2 to 10 minutes of the Star Wars episode. Summit?
9. Oh, 8. No, it's 8.
Spoiler.
Yeah, we think he's going to die in the first
minute. That's why he's back playing the Joker. Steady paycheck. Yeah.
He slips off that cliff and breaks his neck.
Alright, so I don't know.
Shitty hit?
Yeah. Until I actually...
We need a new jingle now.
It's one of those things, until I see it, I know that's a really shit thing to say going off the trail. Off the trailer, I'd say shit.
Mm.
But I don't want to say shit because I know what it is, like yourself, Lou. And I've got faith in the DC... animation, so it don't know. Off the trailer, I'm gonna say shit, but I'm hoping it'll be a hit.
Well, shit. A Batman movie just got shit. I quit.
I said Batman vs Superman was gonna be shit.
Okay, next. fifth Bond movie?
Is it the fourth?
Fifth Bond Legacy.
With Hawkeye.
With Hawkeye in it, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I was just saying the other day, no one remembers his name. Always just calls him Hawkeye.
He should just change his name to Hawkeye.
I bet even the Avengers don't remember his real name.
Jason Hawkeye.
I'm trying to remember his name in fucking Mission Impossible.
Don't know.
I always just saw him as Hawkeye in that, because he pretty much does the same sort of shit.
Yeah. Anyway, that guy.
fuck that guy. It's not about him. It's about imagination.
I've only seen bits of Bourne Legacy, and it looked like a completely different film, like kind of very typical action thriller.
I enjoyed it. It was a guilty pleasure.
It's not terrible.
It's a good action film.
But I love the first three because they're so they had an originality to them at the time that was like. The action in it was more gritty and realistic, weren't it?
Yeah. Yeah, but it had a good story. You know what the story
had
to it?
Good premise to it, yeah.
And it was wasn't your typical action film, because it had a bit of something else to it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it had like mystery in it as well,
didn't
it?
Whereas Legacy were more. It was treading the same sort of ground, but it was more of a super soldier, if I remember correctly, in it. Because he'd been. Whereas Bourne's just been programmed.
Yeah.
To do it, so obviously he's just a guy.
He's got wild skills.
Pretty much. In that, he's had fucking his genes paffed with and all sorts, hasn't he? So, he, a super soldier. It's a bit much.
He had his genes.
I don't want to mess with his genes, fucking hell. Cost 50 quid then.
50 quid genes? That's cheap.
Hey?
It's cheap, that.
Oh, can't remember last time I bought. You fucking.
When you say that?
Fucking hipster.
Buy £120 jeans and pretend they're from a fucking charity shop.
No, they were £120.
You just absolutely fucking nailed hipsterness on its head there. Hipsterdom. Hipsterness.
I need a jingle for that. Hipsterness.
Hipsterness, my jam.
And I saw the teaser trailer for this that didn't really give anything away. And it looked like Bourne Legacy, and I thought, oh god, somehow they've managed to convince Matt Damon to come back.
I've not even seen this trailer yet.
Just like a shit. You've not?
No, you didn't watch it earlier.
We did.
I saw it at Bourne.
We watched it before you got it.
I know. Thanks. Because I saw it and I sat there and I'm like,
alright, well let's pause.
Yeah, pause.
And you can fucking watch it.
Right.
It's a bit we're not doing. You could have done a fucking Ashens and put a thing.
Well,
I was back. And that was the trailer.
It's fresh in my mind, that.
So what did you think?
I think it looks pretty good.
Yeah.
When he knocks that guy out at the end, the trailer looked good. And I like how they've brought like an old tree and they've made it puppet and it looks like Tommy Lee Jones.
The fucking Tommy Muppet. Tommy Lee Muppet.
God, he's so old. He must just sleep under the sun all day.
Yeah. Who's that leather Muppet? That's Tommy Lee Jones.
Old leather Muppet.
Not even that. Fucking Matt Damon's looking old, isn't it?
Yeah. But, no, like I was saying, it looked like... In the original trailer, it didn't look anything special. It just looked like very typical. And there was like a shot of Jason Bourne shooting a gun off the back of a motorcycle. And it was like... It just seemed like they'd kind of gone too far with it. You know, they'd kind of moved it into the realms of like fantastical stunts and stuff like that.
Mm.
But having seen the full trailer, it actually looks good.
When I first saw the teaser,
I wasn't aware that Paul Greengrass had come back because I knew nothing about it. But seeing that, and you get more of a feel of how it looks in that trailer, and it's got a kind of an almost kind of, you know, it's this sort of 70s kind of action, French Connection or something like that. It's got a kind of an authenticness to it, and that's what I always liked about the Bourne films.
Mm.
And I hope they keep it in the same vein for this.
It weirdly reminded me of a Bourne film. I don't know why.
Yeah, I mean,
especially the new ones, the action.
Well, we were saying this before that the new Bourne, the Daniel Craig Bourne films, were very much informed by the Bourne films.
Well, the toilet fight in fucking Casino Royale.
Mm.
Yeah.
Fucking brutal, that fight in.
And it's very much like a Bourne.
Oh, yeah. Scene. Yeah. And again, I was saying to Steve, absolutely adore the fight scenes in the Bourne films. They're just so well done.
Because
it's one of those things, because they're rough, but you can tell the guys in it are trained.
Well, it's like.
To kill each other, sort of thing. And it looks like that's what they're trying to do, I mean, instead of.
Compare it to like.
No, that doesn't help.
Compare it to like an Indiana Jones film, which the action is still great, but it's so cartoony compared to. Like, Indiana Jones will be even just fighting one guy, and he'll probably hit him in the stomach a couple of times and hit him in the jaw, and he's out.
Mm.
Whereas in the Bourne films, it takes him ages. to get defeated, because that's what a real fight is like. You don't stop unless you take like a massive punch to the jaw and it actually physically knocks you out. You know, you could be getting stabbed with a fork and you'd still carry on going. You wouldn't like fall to the floor or anything like that. And that's what the Bourne films like. They just last for ages, and that's what I really like about them. They're more realistic. If that's your thing.
Getting stabbed by a fork.
Yeah. Well, it's like in the first one, anyway, he stabs him in the finger with that pen. He stabs him in the arm, and it goes in between his fingers. And he just, it's a pencil in it, and the villain just kind of like pulls it out while he's looking at Jason Bourne, and then comes at him with the pencil.
Yeah. Is it the second one where he has the fight with the in the kitchen, and he rolls up a fucking magazine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like, bash, bash, yeah. Bash, bash, bash.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool fight.
I actually worked on a... film with a guy called Joey Ansar, who's in The Bourne Ultimatum. He plays, I think he's called Desh in that, and he's like Bourne's in, like, I think he's in like Marrakesh or somewhere like that, and he's the one who comes along on that little motor, on that little scooter, and then finds him in that flat, and they have like a really long fight in that. But the guy Joey Ansar is like a capoeira expert, you know, the Brazilian kind of
Dance fighting,
yeah. So he does, so he can do all these like flips from the hip and like swing his legs around and stuff, and it looks great. And he did a couple of moves like that in the Bourne Ultimatum. But yeah, that was a good fight as well. That stands out.
Did he show you anything?
Hey,
did he do anything for you?
Did he do anything for me?
Yeah, you got to do a flip.
Well, the film I was working on was a film called Underground, which was like an independent martial arts film.
Underground movie.
It was an underground movie, and all the guys that they had as the fighters, it was like a kind of Mortal Kombat style like tournament that all these fighters from around the world came to, you know, to fight for like big money. And it was essentially just like one set piece fight after another, you know, with a bit of people talking around a boardroom table, you know, and the next fight is this person, you know, versus this person. But all the guys who were the martial artists, the actual actors in the film, I mean, there was him, and then there was a Chinese guy, a little Chinese guy, and he was like a wushu expert.
Excuse me?
And he came, apparently he came second. There was a kung fu tournament in China, and he came second.
Oh, this is the guy that can jump up on that fucking ledge.
Yeah, and they were like doing. He was like walking down the street one day, and he approached this bin on the street, and just didn't even break his step or anything like that. Just jumped up both feet, landed on top of the bin, and flung his arms out like Batman, and then just jumped off. And they were doing things like we were waiting. They were setting up a scene in this church, and we were in this churchyard all afternoon. And just sort of past the time, they were like challenging each other to do things like jump on top of like concrete plinths, you know, like a 2-footed standing jump, and trying to kick like leaves off like trees that were like 15 feet in the air and stuff. And it was interesting to see. Film wasn't great though.
Nice afternoon though.
it was a lovely time. Yeah.
Talk about this film then.
So
he's back. I don't even remember what happens in the third.
I don't know, but from the trailer, it looks like he kind of remembers everything.
Did he not remember by end of the third one?
Yeah.
So it's.
He found out that he'd actually volunteered. Spoilers. That he'd volunteered for the Black Buyer program and everything. It wasn't just they brainwashed him.
Yeah.
Turns out he was a bit of a dick.
Jason Dick. Next time on Dicks.
Yeah, but this is all apparently about him finding himself to make himself at peace, and
he becomes a dick again.
Yeah, by the looks of things. But he's got a lot of violence in it, and things blowing up, and you know what I mean.
And Tommy Lee Jones.
Things moving fast, bright lights and all that. Keep me occupied for an hour and a half.
Yeah, a nice Sunday afternoon movie.
Yeah.
Steak and ale pie. Watch Jason Bourne.
Kick the shit out of people.
How come they've gone Jason? They've gone like Rocky Balboa on us, haven't they?
I know, yeah.
Instead of
I was saying to Daz before, they should have called it the Bourne something.
Hmm. The Jason Bourne.
I think
Bourne.
It's just one of those things, because it's about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because the first three films, obviously, I know they're about him, but they're building sort of thing to the final showdown at the end when the big reveal.
They should have called it like the Bourne. Not the. I was going to say the Bourne Freedom. Bourne Freedom. But something like that, you know.
Back to Bourne.
Back to Bourne.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, so I'm gonna.
I don't know why I do that. I quite like Matt Damon, to be honest with you.
Yeah, he's all right, but you know Marshall that is awesome. Hilarious yeah. in the
yeah
Team America.
The Team America,
but even he I've seen him do it. So he obviously, you know, finds it funny.
Matt Damon. What's that movie with Matt Wahlberg? Is it The Departed? He's good in that.
Yeah,
although. Yeah. Wahlberg steals that movie with that last scene.
Every scene that Wahlberg's in,
yeah, he steals. He's good. He's a bell ending
because he's so aggressive.
Yeah,
I like Malik Baldwin in it as well. When they're like it's about great cast. Where they're about to meet those gang, I think they're like doing a stakeout, aren't they? And he's like all wound up, Malik Baldwin, and he's like, you want a cigarette? You don't want a cigarette? Oh, hell freak, yeah, oh, fuck you. Before the guy can even answer.
Departed hit. Okay, so Jason Bourne, a film that has a story, probably, and lots of action.
Yeah. It looks like a kind of, it's back to what I liked about Bourne.
Did you see the other one?
I didn't see Legacy, no.
Watch it then.
I might do.
Don't ring your mate.
If I catch it one day, I might.
It's not a bad
I'm
going
to go on my way to watch it, though.
Yeah, it's one of those. If it's on,
you watch it.
Yeah.
I like Hawkeye. He's a good actor.
Jason Hawkeye. I'm going to say hit for this.
I'm going to say hit.
Yeah, I'm going to say hit. I'd like to watch it with my eyes.
Fair enough.
Yes. As opposed to.
Suppose my third eye. So, I need to get some juice. I'll leave it running. Stay talking with yourself.
No, I need to get a drink.
We're back. I didn't bother pausing it. I thought I was
just this, leaving him.
Yeah, I have this thing where I think, yeah, fuck the listeners. Do you even listen anymore?
Do you remember me telling you about what Si Sharp said to me the other night?
Oh no, I don't remember this.
He said he came up to me and he said, are you still doing the podcast? And I said, yeah. He said, oh, I've not listened for a while. He said, the last one I listened to was that one where you were in a car. And I said,
oh, yeah.
And I said, all right, yeah. He said, I mean, the sound was a bit shit because you were in a car, but, you know, other than that, it was all right. I was like,
it was a creepy uncle's episode yeah. where you were.
Yeah. And I was like, we weren't in a car. And he couldn't believe it.
that boosted my charisma. That
boosted your charisma.
Well, did it boost? It boosted something.
Self esteem.
Yeah. Not my vocabulary.
No, certainly not. Indubitably not.
I invested that.
I don't think I
obviously, that's increased your vocabulary.
Fucking hell.
The words are still there, even if you don't know what they mean.
But when I told you, you flung your arms up in the air and you went, I'm the greatest sound recordist ever.
Oh, God.
I'm not being funny. The sound effects, even it's Wolves acting that just, even with the best sound effects in the world, as soon as you hear Wolf, just a. It's just.
Well, they'd have done that if we'd have been recording in a car.
And you would have fucking pulled over like that.
Where are we, Wolf? Oh, shit, it's the fuzz. So, kudos to you and you.
That's funny.
Sound design skills.
Fucking funny. It's not that good, though, because the rest of the episode clearly sounded like we're in a car.
Yeah. So, what you can take away from it is it sounded shit.
Mm.
That's a bit of gold art, though, no.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because that's when I was going through my chemo.
Was it?
No. This is only like the last Creepy Uncles we did.
I know, but that's...
It's probably a few months ago. It wasn't that long ago.
I think it was like January or February or something.
Mm. Oh, yeah, it might be the one where... Yeah.
Walt doesn't know. Mm? I don't know if he listens now, Walt. I spoke to him the other day. His girlfriend's pregnant.
Good for her.
Good luck, mate.
So if anybody does still listen, get in touch.
Just write the word dicks on our Twitter page. It's at Wizard.
What if he actually meant it, though?
Like, eh?
If they were calling us dicks, would we know?
Would we care?
No. Not at all. I don't care what they say.
To be fair, most of the people who listen know us anyway.
Yeah.
So they know we are.
They know we're dicks.
Yeah.
What were we saying? I don't think we're saying anything.
We were going to go...
This is after our 5 minutes of dead air where we restocked on stuff.
Sorry,
listeners. No, we're all hearing voices.
A trailer was playing in the background.
That's not recorded, has
it? No, it's just picking up the mics. No.
All right.
We're actually, whatchamacallit?
Fucking professionalists.
Yeah, we've actually got money coming in for adverts, he's just not telling us.
Yeah,
new shoes, Lewis. Yeah, where's your car gone? Where's that Porsche come from?
Don't ask questions, Steve. Is that my new golden veneers, though?
£120 jeans.
No, I got these at a charity shop. Oh, it's all fun and games here. It was asleep. We know it's a jibe with each other.
Jibe. Anyway, where were we up to?
Is that the right word?
No.
No.
Oh, it's not.
Oh.
We're moving on to the main topic.
Yeah.
Which is because it's May the 4th, we're going to talk about Star Trek.
Yeah.
So, fuck yes.
So, I mean, obviously you won't be listening to this on May the 4th, but...
you never know. Oh, no, they won't.
Well, no, they won't because it's today.
Depends how long it takes them to get it out.
Well, if you get it out before midnight, then...
Well, I'll get it for May 4th next year.
Yeah, just aim for that. You'll be fine.
I don't know.
We didn't really... We just said, well, let's talk about Star Trek. So, okay. We're going to geek out for a bit now.
Yeah.
Not that we don't usually, but... Probably going to go to a whole new level of geek.
Let's do it.
During this bit. Are you ready? Strapped in?
Engage.
Right, where do you want to start?
Well, I've been nailing TNG lately. And for those that don't know what that means, my mum, the next generation. And the other day...
Your mum's a Star Trek fan,
isn't she? But she doesn't read forums or anything, like, on the internet. She just likes watching it. She's weird for a Trekkie. But the other day I said TNG, she didn't know what it meant. And she walked past my room and I was watching it. She went, oh, you're watching TNG? I was like, yeah. Mum's down with it now. She'd be called Voyager, the big V.
So what? So, I mean...
Big fucking eye.
we'll get onto that in a minute. I mean, I started watching Next Gen when I was about 12, I think. Mm. 11 or 12.
Yeah, early 90s.
Yeah. And
93, I think.
Got really, you know, got massively into it, you know. Used to watch it every night.
87, isn't it, when it started?
Yeah. I went to a Star Trek convention when I was 13. Mm. That was interesting.
To what?
To a Star Trek convention.
You get your underwear.
Eh? I was 13, man.
I'll take that as a no.
His uncle Rob took him.
And, and,
took him.
It was a special weekend away.
And my dad took me. Well, he said he was my dad anyway.
You fought your mum.
That's why he wanted me to call him. No, but it was that was an odd experience. But what my point? I've been like well into Star Trek for years. Daz has, but you've kind of come to it fairly recently.
Yeah.
So what's been your for a start, watching a show that was made 20-odd years ago.
29 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, where did you start? Did you watch the original series?
Yeah. Well, I watched that a few years ago. We used to have Sky Plus, and they were re-showing it in HD or whatever. They remastered it.
Yeah.
So I saved them all and watched all them. So I guess I started with the original series, which I used to watch anyway when it was on, because it was just always on at home.
You're actually older than you look.
Fucking hell, I don't know. I look older than I am. But yeah, I can't remember what it was. What got me into TNG? I think it was Red Letter Media. Like,
yeah,
like I'd seen.
And plus, me and Daz talk about it.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah. Wizard Sleeve, you know, it's very straight tracking
away from the table.
And my mum's always watched it, and I think that's why I didn't watch it for years, because it's what my mum was into. So it's like, why would I watch a show that my mum likes? You know, queer as folk or whatever. And soldier. I can't remember why I started watching it, but
Burke's first ever CD he bought.
What?
You know where Robson and Jerome made a CD. It was the first CD Burke ever bought. Sorry, Luke.
No.
Although Jerome kicks ass in Game of Thrones now. Anyway.
Just. Yeah. What was the same? Yeah, so anyway, I think I put the US Netflix on. Fuck you, Netflix.
Have you not found a way around the BMP yet? The VPN.
Yeah, I bought it on Blu-ray.
The BMP.
I found my way around BMP. So yeah, I've been nailing TNG. Got the Blu-ray box set because Netflix won't let me watch American shows because they're wankers.
Yep.
Loving it. Absolutely can't get enough of it. It's such a weird feeling watching it. Like, you can just lose yourself in a show.
Yeah.
You really stop thinking about everything else. Yeah. That's one of them shows to me. It's really
pure escapism.
Yeah, it's really not nurturing, but like nostalgic in a way that, even though I've never seen it before, it's nostalgic.
Yeah, that was going to be my next thing. What, having watched obviously modern TV shows, what was it like? What's it been like going back to one that was made that long ago with the way it looks and everything?
That's the only thing. Some sort of like makeup and maybe some of the the odd visual effect. Although the one I'm watching,
better though as it goes on.
Well, I'm watching the remastered ones. They've spruced them up, not like Lucas style, but like when the ship's orbiting a planet, they've polished the planets and make them look like the proper distance and stuff like that. It's a lot cleaner. And I watched a VHS episode on YouTube just to check. Excuse me. The difference, and it's so nice. The Blu-rays, man. I could talk about it forever, the fucking show, man. Really, really digging it. And compared to other shows, I'm not finding much difference in quality.
No.
In fact, like, almost every episode is good.
Yeah, I mean...
Shut up.
Almost every episode, I said.
Some of them are absolutely dire.
But that was one thing that stuck with me, that always stuck with me with Next Gen, was the writing. You know, the stories were always different. It wasn't always just Planet of the Week, you know. Or Alien of the Week, they'd be like little, you know, like Data doing like, you know, when he had that relationship with that woman. Yeah, there's like a subplot of like some other peril going on, but that's the bit that you remember.
Yeah.
That's the bit they kind of focus in on as well. They focus in on the day-to-day life of the crew members as opposed to a lot of the time the overarching sort of thing. It's the interplay between them all.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
There's a great episode... called Lower Decks, which is about...
I've not seen this one yet.
But it's about a group of four ensigns and what they have to do every day. And they're, like, complaining about Riker being a dick and all this sort of stuff. And, you know, like, you see them talking about the main cast.
Yeah.
As if... And you get a real sense of the gap in rank.
Yeah.
You know, because they're talking about these people like they don't know them very well. They're just a uniform to them. They're just their commanding officer.
And not part of the clerk.
Yeah, but obviously we know what they're like as people, how they can be sensitive and stuff like that, but these four characters don't see that, obviously. So they're...
See their boss.
Yeah, it's just their boss. So they are whinging about Riker, and one of them's security guard, and she's like a bit pissed off with Worf because he's making her do shifts and stuff like that. You know, it is just... But then obviously they get into some kind of trouble that they... have to deal with, so it makes the story worth telling. But up until a certain point, it's like it's good to see that kind of. So there's episodes like that are quite well done. It's not like I say, it's not just a big shootout every week.
No, and then there's other episodes where fucking Picard gets stuck in a lift for three quarters of the episode with fucking kids.
Yeah.
And then they escape up a thing singing fucking Frère Jacques.
There's a good bit though in that
and
where
it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, but he hates kids, doesn't he? That's
the thing is, I quite like that episode because it's like, it's almost like a Scrooge kind of thing.
Every time the kid, every time any kid turned up in the next gen, it was just
painful.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's
there's a higher quality of child actors nowadays. But
I mean,
yeah,
I'll get the only kid actors I'll get, give the due to is the little girl who plays fucking Guinan as a child.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a brilliant bit of acting.
Have you seen that one? I don't think he has. It's like, I don't think he's up to that yet. I don't think he's got to it because Ensign Rowe comes into it. You don't know who Ensign Rowe is, do you know?
Oh, Ensign Rowe?
Ensign Rowe.
Yeah, she's in it.
Was she? Bajoran?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. What was that?
But she's the captain of the Pegasus, isn't she, in Galactica?
Yeah, yeah, she is. Yeah. She's the bellend in Galactica.
Yeah. But, no, that... I mean, I don't like the episode
but
in
a bit,
general, but
when he's in that
that little girl actor, Nails Guinan and Whoopi Goldberg,
yeah,
bango. Go on.
Sort of baby data.
No.
In that episode, when he's in the lift and like he's like, right, you're the oldest, you can be my number one and whatever, you can be the captain something, whatever.
And you could come here and suck my cock.
Well, the third kid's like... I want to be an ensign too, or like a head of something. And he goes, okay, let me think. You, what does he say now? He says, like, your science project was parsnips, so you can be a captain of parsnips. Or something like that.
Captain of parsnips. That's a band name, that.
This is what I mean, though. It's just.
I think you are right, Daz. There's some episodes where it seemed like they'd run out of budget for that episode, so they decided to film it all.
We're going
to
set it in a lift.
Yeah, in a lift. But even so, I felt the writing was always solid all the way through. Even episodes like that were just like, they were just sort of nice to watch. And it is a bit of character development for Picard, you know.
Well, when I'm binging it, I like having that variation of episodes.
Yeah.
Although my favourites...
I mean, it's one of those things, the first couple of seasons...
They were a bit tinny. Season one and two are a bit tinny.
Three is brilliant.
And then after that, it really picked up.
It's all like a gamble when I'm watching it. It's great, like, never seen them before. And it's like rolling a dice every time, like, what kind of episode am I going to get? Am I going to get a Worf episode, a Picard episode?
Yeah, that's it.
A sexy Riker episode.
Yeah. That's my favourites, though. Go on.
When you hit fucking Snake Eyes and you get Data episode.
Yeah.
Or if you're really lucky, the dice land on the side, stood up, you get a Q episode. Fucking love Q, but Data episodes are always my favourite.
Yeah.
I just watched one last night. It was a kid who's... on some spaceship, and it's another Enterprise ship, and it's all not Enterprise, another Starfleet ship, and it's all smashed up. And there's a kid on it, and he befriends Data, and then does his hair like him.
Yeah, yeah.
And starts pretending to be.
Yeah.
It's not the greatest Data episode, but it's. I like the one where he gets a girlfriend though. It's a good one.
Yeah, but again, every episode, when there's not a lot of to them, they still somehow manage to get. They push the character forward a bit more, you know. They still manage to do that.
Don't get me wrong, he's got some absolutely brilliant episodes in. I mean, when Picard gets turned into Locutus and the Borg are scary in the next gen.
Yeah.
Because they know there's fuck all they can do to him.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't it the first episode where Q turns up and sends them to...
It wasn't the first episode, it was like...
Well, the first episode's Encounter of Farpoint, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. It is a really early episode where he just flings them across and the Borg look at them and go...
We'll have you.
Yeah, we'll have you. And it's one of those things, they then know that the Borg are coming, because the Borg didn't know about the human race up until that point, and it's just like... Yeah, don't get me wrong, it's got some absolutely cracking stuff in it.
The part two episode, I think it's the first episode of four, is it, when they... Or it might be the last episode of three, when they get Picard back from the bog.
I fucking remember watching it.
That would have been the first episode of four when they get him back.
I can't remember which one. Well, anyway, that whole scene where like they plan it out and like they distract the Borg, and then two of them go in a little shuttle, they beam on board,
yeah,
and they have those like portable beam things, Mm. So like they grab Picard and hit it and fly back.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a very original way of fighting a villain as well, because like they are technically, they're just like, well, the cyborgs, the zombies, whatever they are, you know. Yeah. And in something, you know, in any lesser show, they'd just go at them with like axes or something, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Or just develop a new gun that could shoot them. But they're like being tactical about getting around them, and like they know that the Borg don't necessarily see them as a threat immediately, so they're able to walk through them and stuff. And that's quite scary when they're just walking past them and stuff, you know. But yeah, it was like, and they know that they've only got like a couple of hits before the shields adapt to the phaser, you know. So it's like these levels of tension within the way they fight the Borg that are a lot more interesting than by the time they get to the film First Contact, where they're just fucking hitting him, you know. And just like wrestling them and shooting them with machine guns and stuff, and it's like,
or in Voyager where they're completely fucking nerfed because, well, yeah, Janeway joins up with a Borg to beat species 8472 sort of thing, and it's just like, what? Fuck off, the Borg don't.
Not got to Voyager yet.
No,
don't bother with it.
My mum loves it, like obsessed with it. She said it's her favourite Star Trek show.
It's one of those things. It had good ideas to it, because obviously I had a female captain and one thing and another, and but he's got some of the worst Trek episodes ever, some of the most annoying people ever. Fucking Harry Kim, what the fuck's that about? Or Neelix,
fuck's sake.
Yeah, they're all pretty boring. I mean,
the episode where fucking Neelix, Tunix or fucking Nevok, where him and Tuvok get fucking jumbled up in a transporter, and it's like, what am I watching here?
And that's the thing, they're all pretty boring, all the characters in Voyager.
Isn't the cast of like Voyager all like a bit of every creed as well?
There's pretty
like,
much.
Isn't there a Ferengi?
No.
There's DS9.
Is that DS9?
Yeah. There's an Indian.
But there's a Borg, there's a Vulcan.
Yeah.
There's a woman.
There's an American Indian.
Is that the guy with the
Chakotay
Samoan like stuff in
him? Yeah. Although it does have one of the best storylines in any Trek, where the Q turns up, he wants to commit suicide.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I think that's an absolutely brilliant episode sort of thing.
In Voyager.
Yeah.
All right, because there's the Q where he becomes human in
TNG. Yeah. Oh, they're all called Q.
Oh, another Q.
Another Q turns up
and wants to die, wants to commit suicide.
Cool.
So he asks for basically, he asks for Voyager's help, sort of thing, to Sanctra from the Continuum, so he can just become human and die. And obviously, the other Q then turns up and goes, "Ah, you can't do this." I mean, even Q in Voyager was a bit shit. Again, in Next Gen, he's scary because there's that bit with the courts and everything where he's asking Picard to justify humanity.
Yeah, and he's like, he jokes around, but he always makes a serious point. Like, one of my favourite episodes is when he does a quantum leap on Picard and sends him back into his old,
before he gets the stab through the heart. It's a cracking episode.
And then the alternate reality when he comes back,
and he's only like a fucking ensign.
Yeah, yeah, he's just like a science officer.
I've not seen that one.
Fucking great. One of the best, that.
Yeah, but Q, that's the thing, Q was his peak sort of thing. I mean, he turns up in, he only ever turns up in DS9 once. Yeah.
So when he gets his beat down.
Yeah, Sisko cracks him
once. Gets one bomb by Sisko.
Ask your boy.
Just goes,
ask your boy.
And it never turns up again, and it's just like, yeah, that's it. But no, I mean, in fucking Voyager, he turns up with his kid and tries romancing Janeway, and it's just, it's all just a bit odd.
Yeah. And do they ever ask him to send him home?
I don't think she does, to be
fair. What a dick. I mean, if a god, basically, who likes the human race, because he does like humans, he's interested by them. If he lands on a human ship that's stranded 75 light years away from Earth... Oh, no, it's more than that, isn't it?
It's 75
Earth years... And it
yeah, yeah,
it whatever that equates to, yeah.
Because at warp 1, it'd be, what? That's the light speed, isn't it? So, whatever 75 is times by 8 points.
This guy, he's basically a god, lands on your ship.
Yeah.
You'd at least say to him, listen, K can you send us on?
Although I don't think Q would. If they'd have asked, I don't think he would have done. Simply because he likes watching people.
Picard would have tried, though. Picard would have asked him.
Yeah. Do you reckon he would?
He did. Yeah. I think he did.
Because Picard would have cared about the people on the ship. He wouldn't have done it because he was...
Janeway just don't give a shit.
Janeway's too stubborn. Like, should he go, no, I'm not asking.
Well, he doesn't give a fuck about the Prime Directive, Picard. He breaks it left, right and centre.
Yeah. Well, that wouldn't be the Prime Directive, would it? Asking a Q entity to get you home.
I guess.
Again, he'd demand it of Q.
Yeah.
There'd be a big shouty, angry
a very verbal fight between them.
Yeah.
But again, that could have led into a different storyline, whereas, you know, what they agree to, because Q would want something in return.
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, whatever. But I can't see him putting
off
that
off Tuvok.
He would have sucked off Tuvok.
But
two cocks.
Anyway, yeah, go on.
Yeah.
So,
again.
Right.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah, go on.
Well, no, you said Lou said he had something to say about the unicorn.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, go on.
Do you know in the TNG movies where they all suddenly start wearing a grey uniform?
Yeah.
I've noticed in season 5 of TNG, Picard starts wearing this fucking jacket.
Yeah.
What the hell's that about?
I don't know.
It's like, but the grey suit's underneath that.
No, it's like a grey t-shirt he's got underneath that.
Is it a t-shirt?
Yeah.
He's not took it off yet.
There's an episode where they get stranded in a desert and he takes it off and he's got like...
He's put over his head?
I think so, yeah. But he's just got like a kind of... It's just like a vest.
Right, okay.
Maybe he'd been working out.
Has he been like riding a bike around the Enterprise? It's like a biker's jacket because it comes out quite a bit, like it's leather, like
yeah,
it's quite big on him.
Early 90s,
it's crazy, shoulder pads, like, it's weird. Yeah. But he looks really casual because it's like unzipped and shit. Yeah. He's like the captain.
Maybe that is the thing. Yeah. You do your time on a ship and you just think fuck it.
I do know. I've read this. I might have seen it in an interview with him. But Patrick Stewart didn't like wearing the uniform. Like the first uniform they had was like a one-piece jumpsuit with hooks under the feet. And apparently they were all getting like back problems because like if they were too tall for the suit, it dragged them down while they're walking. And like they said, like if you watch Patrick Stewart, he kind of in the episodes where they had in the early episodes where they had this one piece jumpsuit, he walks like he's pushing himself up out of it as he's walking.
Oh, that's gonna ruin it.
And then the thing with the pulling the thing down, which became kind of like a trademark of his.
Yeah, because he doesn't even know he's wearing the
jumper. That was just whenever Patrick Stewart sat down in his uniform, it'd like go up, so he had to do it.
Mm.
But it just became like one of Picard's mannerisms. But maybe it was Patrick Stewart. It was like, just give me a fucking jacket that I can have open.
I want to look cool.
And they're like, right, we've got a vest as well. No, I want to do it bare-chested. I want people to see my navel.
I want people to see my lion tiger tattoo on my chest. My tattoo of Riker riding a whale.
Getting on a chair backwards.
Fucking Riker.
Do you know what I thought you were going to ask about uniforms in the next-gen films? And it always confused me a little bit how they've kind of they mix the uniforms. Like, there isn't one set uniform. Like, in Generations, they wear... They wear the next gen series uniform and they wear the Deep Space Nine uniforms, those kind of black ones with the coloured shoulder pads. And then in the later films, they have a mixture of the grey ones that they introduce in Deep Space Nine with the grey shoulder pads and the other ones. And that always kind of confused me a bit, how they just didn't just change the uniforms altogether.
Yeah, because...
They've got
a shipment, or use the replicas.
It's like people were still using their old uniforms because, like, the others were in the wash or something, or...
Is it not because, I mean, are the uniforms not coloured in rank and stuff like that?
But the actual design changed, didn't it?
Yeah.
Because, like, indeed, the uniform that came after the next-gen one was introduced in Deep Space Nine, where it was, like... They had like a purple like fucking turtleneck on, and then like a black jumpsuit with the colours were in the shoulder pads, and then later on the rank was in the polar neck. It was like a red polar neck or a yellow polar neck with a black jumpsuit with grey shoulder pads. But they never just like changed. They just like threw them all in. It's like they didn't have enough in the production to like give all the cast, so like
maybe that's it.
So well, maybe it was. So some extras are walking around in like old uniforms from like Deep Space Nine and stuff.
Well, some short guys wearing Riker
uniforms. Well, up until this point, they thought they've got away with it.
Rumbled Star Trek. Rumbled.
But do we not like to think the TNG movies are a separate universe to the show?
I know you do.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, yeah, they're not, though.
Well, what is a universe at the end of the day?
It's deep, man.
Deep, man.
It's one of those things, I mean, yeah, you watch the Plinkett thing, but I... You know what I mean? Without putting holes in it, I quite like First Contact. It's fucking stupid, but I don't mind it.
I like Generations.
Oh, I don't like Generations.
Because I kind of like...
Fucking Dead on a Bridge.
Yeah, I mean, Kirk's death was naff, and I didn't like the fact that Picard just buried him on top of a cliff on an alien planet.
Although, I'm
going to take him home.
I have read the book that's set after that, where Spock sat on that planet with Kirk's body underneath some rocks, and then Romulans come and pinch the body and reanimate Kirk with the help of the Borg.
Was it written by William Shatner?
Yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it's fucking brilliant. No, it really is. And there's this real, fucking really weird bit where he's fighting himself through all these different stages of his life, like on a Enterprise's bridge and then somewhere else and somewhere else. It's just bizarre.
Strange.
What's it called, that?
Kirk's Return.
Right, okay.
But I dig it out.
I kind of like Generations because it's got like the next gen Enterprise in it. So, I like seeing that. They revamped it a little bit for the film. Like, they put extra stations and stuff on the bridge, didn't they?
Yeah.
I still like that. You know, it kind of looks like the series, just in a more cinematic way.
Mm.
But then I like Malcolm McDowell. And I like Guinan, the character of Guinan. I think she's an interesting character.
Mm.
So I like what it deals with. It's a bit more like Next Gen in that sense. They didn't depart too much from it. And it's got like a trippy bit in it where he's in that Victorian Christmas.
Yeah.
And to me, that's more like what Star Trek should be like. You know, it should have like little weird trippy sequences like that. Like, you know, where you whisked off to like another realm and, you know, stuff like that. A bit more of a science fiction mystery element to it, rather than just like ships crashing into each other, which is what they just became after that.
Yeah, they just became action
movies. Nemesis.
Yeah.
Right, well, I mentioned it.
Nemesis
is just such a departure. It's for me, it's not Next Gen.
No, not at all.
It had its relatively dark bits, but it wasn't majorly dark, and then fucking Nemesis... Fucking mind rapes. Saying that, there's mind rape in the old series, isn't there? There's some aliens that come on and one of them's just mind raping people.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking white-haired old bastard.
Yeah, I remember that.
Dirty bastard.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just popped in my head because obviously there's that bit with Nero. Not Nero, because that's fucking fingers, isn't it?
Yeah.
What's he called?
Which is just the clown one?
Shinzon. Yeah. Shinzon fucking mind raping.
Yeah.
Thing. And it's like that. It just was really.
When it
I don't know.
Which one?
When they had that element in the series, it kind of. It meant more. You know what I mean? Because it was more of an explanation. An exploration of that type. That character and what he. But that just comes out of nowhere, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's what I mean. It's just
like a shitty plot device.
Yeah,
it's like, oh god, someone's getting out of like raped. You know, it's this is drama, obviously. You know, but it's not if something like that's happening in a.
Is this where you get all your movie ideas from?
Well, if it happens in a story, you've got to have a bloody good reason for it.
Mm.
You know, you can't just do it for effect.
He's evil, Steve. He's evil. He's the evil. Picard.
Showing. Should we talk about Fat Data's death? Yeah, I never understood how a robot could get fatter as the series
just
went
on
age.
Koro as well.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why his death involves him just fucking flinging himself out there in front of the Enterprise. Woo! I'm off.
Fuck yes. Little jets come out of his legs.
It's fucking. It's that whole thing's just very, very stupid.
Yeah, it just and. the way they changed Picard as well, they changed him into like, you know, this kind of gun-toting action hero.
Yeah, well, he'd been on that way from First Contact, though.
Yeah.
Because, again, First Contact, he's stubborn, but he'd see fucking sense. So I think he'd see sense a lot sooner than he seems to in that film.
There were too many parallels drawn with, like, Captain Ahab, and they tried to make him this kind of...
Well, that was the whole thing, wasn't
it? Yeah, and they tried to make him, like, an Ahab-type character, but it's like, Picard isn't like that. Picard would be aware that he was behaving like Ahab, and he would stop.
Do you know the whole thing about his heart being stabbed in it, yada, yada, yada?
Yeah.
That whole episode where he tells Wesley about it, he says, like, yeah, I used to be like that. I used to be a hothead, but I'm not now.
Yeah.
He's not now.
Exactly,
but,
yeah.
But then he is in the movies.
Yeah. And if he was going to go back to his former ways, they should have said that.
Or broke him, like showing him becoming like
how many
that.
Lights are this day?
There are four lights!
Again, brilliant episode.
Yeah, love that episode.
Fucking brilliant. But no, I mean, it does sound like we're going on to a fucking Plinkett review here. But the fucking June buggy thing.
Yeah.
One thing that just reminds me, though, that is one thing that I've never understood with Star Trek is the fact that all the away parties, instead of sending down people who are trained to be on away parties, you send fucking commandos or something, or you know what I mean, or proper diplomats. No, you send your captain, your first officer, your chief medical guy, chief engineer, and some guy standing in the way. And it's like, what? So basically, you've just left the fucking night shift in charge of your starship while you fucked off down... I mean, yeah, fair enough, Kirk after a bit of poon, but, fucking hell.
He was like an old-style sailor, wasn't he?
Kirk, yeah.
Fucking every port.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's just like, what the... Yeah, why? That's not good protocol.
He didn't fuck anything, did he?
Eh?
Do you reckon, like, Spock ever said to him, Captain, you want to calm down on the old... alien fucking for a bit.
And he just went, Spock. Shut up, I'll fuck you.
Oh, you're an alien. A dirty bastard, aren't quiet. No, it's on, I don't know whether it's on, it's on one of the random digital channels in the morning.
Right.
The original series. So I've been catching a few, and I mean, the one, the other week where they end up on a planet sort of thing, and Spock's chatting this bird up. And then there were another one where he's chatting another bird up with some fucking hippies on the ship and all that. It's just bizarre watching them.
Yeah.
But thoroughly entertaining.
Do you want to find out what Spocking is?
I invented Spocking.
Oh, what, the episode where Scotty fucking... Who's he drink under the table?
It's an alien. There's like a... They're all like super intelligent. So they're all like... Each one's trying to outwit them, isn't they? There's one trying to, like, is it play chess or something? But, like, Scotty's way of doing it is to get him so drunk that he passes out.
Yeah. And he's got, like, bottles hidden in, like, vases and, like, behind behind paintings and
this
stuff.
This is clearly before synthol, isn't it?
Yeah.
It'd be proper fucking Romulan ale.
Well, there's that episode where... Have you seen the episode where Scotty's in Next Gen?
Where he's trapped in the Dyson sphere.
Yeah. He's been trapped in like a transporter.
Is it because he's too fat?
Eh?
Is he stuck in it?
No, because his ship was going to. Wasn't his ship doomed? It was running out of oxygen or something. So he
made a loop in the transporter relay, so it just basically kept going, but didn't. He dematerialized and then was stored.
Yeah.
In its memory.
And they basically just beamed him onto the Enterprise. And, like, it's quite a good episode. It's very quite nostalgic. Because, like, he goes on the holodeck and recreates the old Enterprise bridge. But then he goes into 10 forward and he's like, he gets a drink. And he's like, what the hell is that? In his kind of Scottish-Irish accent.
I also like the ending of that where they basically give him a shuttlecraft and some booze and off he goes.
Yeah, yeah.
Flying round space, bollocks.
Yeah. Pretty much. That's how I'd expect him to die.
He died the way he lived.
Yeah.
He died the way he did his job. Drunk. I fixed the engine, Captain. Don't leave him with a fucking engine. Jesus Christ. Simon Pegg.
So, we were going to talk about various favourite things to do with Star Trek.
Yeah.
So, favourite captain?
Picard. We've done this before, you know.
Yeah, I know. I know he's technically not classed as a captain, but it's a toss-up between fucking Kirk and Sisko.
He does become a captain.
Well, eventually, yeah, but he's not, because he's on a space station. He's a commander, isn't he?
Mm.
It's one of those things. Sisko. I really like Sisko.
What about Geordi LaForge?
What about Geordi LaForge?
Doesn't he become a captain? You alright, mate?
No.
I'm sure in Voyager he turns up. Like,
he probably does. I think he'd make a shit captain, to be fair.
Oh yeah, isn't there like a one where it's like they see into the future or something and he's captain of a ship. I think that might be it.
Right.
But I think we'll stick with like the captains in the shows, you know. Okay. I'm probably going to say Picard as well, just because it's more realistic the way he deals with things. He's not just like a gunslinging, swashbuckling kind of. Yeah. And that suited the 60s because that's what a lot of the hero, you know, they were. It was off the back of all the old adventure serials, yeah. You know, so they had to have a hero who did that, you know. He might as well have been Robin Hood, you know. But, but I think Picard was more rounded as a character. You could believe that he was a captain, a well respected captain. And I like it in Deep Space Nine, where he falls into legend, Picard, and they start talking about him as if he's like this kind of Nelson character, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, and they like name drop him when they're talking, because like someone collects like memorabilia.
Mm.
Like one of them says that they have Captain Picard's desk, you know. So it's like he becomes this kind of like legendary character within Starfleet, and I kind of like that, the way he goes like that, you know. Becomes this kind of you know, legend that you've seen actually develop.
So does Kirk.
Eh? Well, yeah, I mean, Kirk does. I mean,
Kirk's different, though, because Kirk is, bizarrely, I know Picard's, they're still pushing the frontiers of Federation space, but Kirk's, for me, Kirk was always on the fucking edge.
Yeah.
You know, like you said, old school fucking ship.
Yeah, it always seemed like in Next Gen they knew where they were going. There was never any
Kirk
real.
Never had a fucking clue.
No, there was never any real. There was exploration, but they were exploring. It was more of an inward looking show, I think, Next Gen. It was always something to do with how someone deals with a situation rather than always.
A lot of the time, if it was an outside story, a lot of times it was kind of problems within the Federation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sort of thing that they were sorting out, or a bit of a do with the Romulans or some shit like that.
I'd be like the Enterprise. Episodes often start with the Enterprise being called to a planet
as
part of the Federation already, you know. So they weren't exactly like at the frontier, like literally discovering new planets. Mm. I assume that's been put out to like other parts of the Federation now, because they seem to like. Because they go to like new planets that were just discovered and they're observing, but it's like people have already been there and found it, so it's not just the Enterprise going out looking for shit.
I like. There's an episode where it starts off on an alien planet and Riker's dressed as one of the aliens.
Yeah.
And it touches on the like first contact, like they're about to create a warp. Warp travel?
Yeah.
And it's interesting to see if, like, because it's sort of like Earth, but they're obviously aliens, and it's like how we deal with that.
Yeah.
You know, like if like a source, like an alien contacted us, and like, you know, there's this whole, don't worry, you're not the centre of the universe, you're not alone.
And they deal with stuff like that by making the alien civilizations less advanced, and so they're like at kind of Renaissance level or.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Oh! Next Gen episode where they get fucking Q transports and back to be Robin Hood.
Oh, God.
Fucking wank. Absolutely fucking wank. Way, yeah.
But, do you want to hear my
favourite? I am not a merry man.
My favourite episode is the one where there's that bellend guy that comes inspecting the ship and no one likes him. But then he turns up a few episodes later where they have this like alien bug and it goes into their mouth.
Yeah.
And at the end of the episode, Riker beams down and he thinks that Picard's become one of them. They're all eating these maggots and everything. But they end up like having a fight and they chase these bugs down this hallway and he's sat there, that guy, that bellend. And this alien, like, crawls up his leg and into his mouth, and he's like, Picard, like, we just want to, you know, assimilate or whatever. And then he looks at Riker, and then they look at him, and they get the phases out, and they fucking blast him.
Blow into bits.
And yeah. His head blows up.
They always cut that out when it was on TV, though.
And, but then, like, he's there sat there, and then this alien comes out of his stomach, and it's like, meh!
Yeah.
And then they look at each other again, and go, fuck it, and yeah. Blast it, and it melts.
Yeah. Okay, then, so, favourite episode?
Oh. Too bad. So, because I haven't watched them all yet.
Trials and Tribulations.
It combines my favourite Trek, which is DS9.
Yeah.
Although, we should probably mention, some people don't say it as Star Trek. Bizarre. Because they don't really go anywhere.
No.
Well, but there's a hell of a lot of story goes on in DS9.
Oh, yeah. I mean, after season 4, from season 4 onwards, it's such a great show.
Mm.
Because it's like, there's still like episodic elements to it, but there's like an overarching story because they're at war.
Yeah, the threat of the Dominion, the siege.
And it just degrades and degrades and degrades to the point where, like, there's like a few episodes that span where Worf and a few of the others have been captured by the Jem'Hadar.
And Worf's made to fight.
Yeah, and they force Worf to fight every day with these, like, Jem'Hadar soldiers.
Plus, it's one of those things. I know, just giving Lou time to think of his favourite episode. It's one of those things that DS9 has got, for me, some of the best character. Yeah, fucking Jake Sisko, he can fuck off, he's a prick. But again, kids. Nog, on the other hand.
Yeah, he's
pretty good. I like Nog. Yeah. That's the Ferengi kid.
Right, okay.
But no, it's. I mean, Garak.
Garak's great.
He's one of the best characters in any Trek.
In any TV show.
Mm.
He's just great. He's like, he's a Cardassian, but he's like, he works on Deep Space Nine. He just has like a tailor's shop on Deep Space Nine.
But he used to be part of the Cardassian secret police. So
right, yeah.
But they feed it to you so slowly because he's so secretive. And like, there's rumours that he used to be a Cardassian spy and all this sort of stuff. But he plays it down.
Oh. Right, I can't wait for that.
And you just see, and over the years of Deep Space Nine, you see him, his character develop so much to the point where he's actually called to do
something. All
right, cool. It's great.
And one of my others in it is, fucking hell, I'm saying this one, my favourite Star Trek episodes, characters, I can't remember his name. The Gull.
Gull the Cat.
Gull the Cat.
Yeah, he's great as well.
It's a brilliant. Yeah. It's just the fact that he comes from being in charge of stuff to like being in charge of the
Cardassian
Empire sort of thing, and it's just his decline into his rise into power, and then his decline into fucking madness.
One of the one of the points where I realised that Deep Space Nine was so well constructed was there's an episode of Deep Space Nine where they have these three kind of. Are the aliens or the human? But they've got like a kind of an extra sensory perception of things, and they're able to know exactly what a person's thinking just by listening to them talk for like 5 seconds.
Right.
And they play back this recording of Gull the Cat, this Cardassian general, who's like a massive threat. And these people look at him and they compare his life. Because they figure out that he's got a daughter that he's trying to look after and all this sort of stuff. Just by watching him in this interview. But they compare him to King Lear. And they're comparing elements of his life to, like, King Lear. And it is kind of Shakespearean, the way the characters go up and down in Deep Space Nine. It's got such depth to it. Because they're these characters that keep coming back and it's like an extended cast. And it was kind of one of the first of its time. I mean, now we get things like... Now we've got, like, going back to Game of Thrones, we have things like that that are kind of multifaceted, different characters with their own agenda. Deep Space Nine, to my mind, kind of started all that.
No, a bit controversial. I think Descartes would fit quite nicely in Game of Thrones.
No, he would. That's exactly what I mean.
I think Garak would.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Yeah. But Deep Space Nine did it.
Oh, yeah, I think that's one of the reasons it's my favourite Trek, is simply because it was something completely different, and it was just... Whereas, obviously, you had the story... You still had the story of the week, but then again, you had this massive... And, I mean, massive, overarching thing going on.
Yeah,
because they're at the point of, if the Dominion invade the Federation, the Federation's fucked.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. And again, one of my favourite images out of any Star Trek is that bit where they're not fighting the Dominion. It's when the Klingons turn up.
Yeah.
And they just flick a load of switches and basically DS9 turns into a mobile, you know, weapons platform.
Yeah.
Because all the sides of DS9, all the panels start flipping over, and there's fucking photon torpedo launchers.
And then you've got elements of espionage with like the changelings, how they've infiltrated the Federation.
Yeah. Spoilers.
We can't speak too much about it because Lewis hasn't seen it yet. But I'd say my favourite episode, I'd have to go with. I mean, I like that one that we mentioned just then. What was it? The Next Gen episode. Fuck, I can't remember. Oh, but there's one where Picard gets. I can't remember what it was. There's the one where Picard gets kind of kidnapped by an alien probe. They find this probe floating in space, and it sends out an energy beam that causes Picard to fall into a coma on the bridge. But Picard wakes up on an alien planet, like a kind of underdeveloped planet, quite primitive. They got built. It's like ancient Greek times, say, you know, it's like that kind of look to it. And he's like, "What am I doing here? Why have you captured me? Send me back." But they're calling him by another name, and they're saying, "What are you talking about, Grandad?" You know.
Oh, yeah. You told me about this episode. Yeah, it sounds mental.
And he tries to convince them that he's not their father or granddad. You know, he's not a member of their family. He's actually from a starship. But of course, they just think he's going mad.
Mm.
And it's one of them. Star Trek was very good at this, where you'd be watching an episode like that, and you think, is he going mad? Is this all like you
is
know?
Is he granddad?
Is he actually their granddad? You know. But he lives his entire life up to like the age of 100 on this planet. So he lives for another 60 years on this planet, grows into a very old man, and eventually forgets about the Enterprise and all that, and just becomes part of this community, you know. And but then he, at the end of the episode, he sees they launch this rocket, and it's got the probe on it that several hundred years later kidnaps him,
right?
And then he wakes up on the bridge, and he's like, he's lived 60 years as this other guy. He's lived an entire lifetime, and he's like, it's almost like he's trying to remember where he is, and he doesn't kind of know if it's actually real. And he says, and then eventually he says, "How long was he unconscious?" And they're like, 20 minutes. So in that time, he's lived a lifetime on this other planet. It's fucking, it's like mind-blowing. That's proper sci-fi, that. That's proper Star Trek, that, as far as I'm concerned.
That sounds like a great episode.
So that's one. And then the Four Lights one, I like that one as well. Yeah, that's a really good one. Where Picard gets captured by a kind of rogue Cardassian who's got a vendetta against him and just tortures him for days in this, like, cave.
I like the Robin Hood one. Oh, the one with Data as a kid. That's a good one.
When he makes his daughter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She figures out what kissing is, and then Riker walks in, and I rolled my eyes at this point. I was like,
Here we go. Yeah.
And he's like that as well.
He's like, "Hello."
That's what Guinan's like. She's like, "Oh, fuck."
Keep him away. Keep her away from Riker. Whatever you do, Data, do not introduce her to Riker.
Okay, she's got a washable vagina.
Comes out.
Dishwasher safe.
Yeah. What's it from, that?
Fucking Archer, isn't it?
Oh, with
Russian woman.
Yeah. Jesus. But yeah, she pulls Riker. And then Data comes in and goes, "Get off my daughter," or whatever.
So that episode, I read that episode was written by on spec by just a
one of the fans
by just a writer
on the Blu-ray extra features. They talk about that. They talk in depth about how it was written, and honestly, the entire history of it's fucking mint. Yeah. The extra features on that, they're insane. Yeah. It's just so much.
Yeah,
and Gene Roddenberry's dead at this point in TNG. I watched an episode today where it said like it was the two-part with Spock.
Oh right, yeah.
Which was alright.
Yeah. Yeah, it wasn't amazing that. It was like a bit more of a kind of sensational, "Oh, look, we've got Spock in it."
You know? Yeah. He must have been like the Roddenberry thing, like.
Yeah, I like the one where Data gets kidnapped as well. Have you seen that one?
By
that collector.
Oh, the collector! It's a mini episode. Yeah.
And it's like, again, it's like it's the dialogue between the characters that always ruled on Next Gen.
It wasn't not to
Not
to do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it wasn't just like people didn't speak with the fists. It was always like they'd wear each other down through the conversation, through the dialogue.
What I really liked about that episode is that guy, he just gets arrested at the end.
Yeah.
And they put him in prison or whatever. Yeah. It was really satisfying. Like, I'm glad he didn't die or anything.
Yeah.
Or escape.
Yeah, they just carted him off.
Yeah. It's like, you've been naughty, mate.
Yeah.
But again, that's why the films feel so out of joint with the series.
Yeah, because they don't have any of that.
I mean, yeah, fair enough, the films, but.
Yeah, but I mean, there's good films made, isn't there?
Apparently not.
Usually.
But I mean,
I like the Kirk films.
Yeah,
I think they're all
Beager.
In keeping with the Star Trek theme. They're all different from each other.
I mean, it's one of those things. V'ger and what do you call it? The first one. I mean, I like the third one. So it's for Spock.
Yeah,
where obviously David gets. His son gets stabbed and one thing or another, and obviously
and Christopher Lloyd is a great Klingon.
Oh yeah, and you've seen the fraughtness between Kirk and his son in Wrath of Khan.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. The fact that they're so cold to each other.
Yeah,
but and it's one of those things because I like the fact that obviously Kirk's always hated Klingons anyway. Yeah. But as the thing goes on, it shows that even people like him can change. You know where the obviously. Is it Star Trek 6?
Yeah.
Yeah, because they always say it's the even numbers that are the good films.
Yeah, I love Star Trek. Star Trek 6 is my favourite Star Trek film.
But again, it's one of those things. I mean, the motion picture, it is slow, but it's proper sci-fi.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. It's like a slow-burning
Reminds me of 2001.
Yeah, it's got that kind of feel to it.
Yeah.
Was it Slated at the time, though?
Yeah. I think so, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, because it is just...
Because it's a longer episode.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's not even that. It's different to the original series. The original series, like Steve said, because of the time it came out and what it followed...
It's quite poppy, isn't it?
Yeah, and added quite a bit of action to it and stuff.
It was a bit like Batman.
Which is why...
All the monkeys.
Yeah. I mean, Wrath of Khan. Wrath of Khan is fucking brilliant.
Banana
Split. I absolutely adore Wrath of Khan. I mean, the bit at the end, spoilers, where Spock dies.
What?
The bit at the end between Spock and Kirk.
Yeah.
Just nearly, I'll be honest with you, it nearly always brings me to tears, because it's really well done, and I mean, that's fucking Shatner doing that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
A bit afterwards as well, this was the most human.
Yeah.
It's funeral, it's fucking real.
Yeah. Yeah, there's heart to it. There's no heart to the Next Gen films.
No.
And it's funny because there was so much heart in the series, they weren't able to transplant the heart to the films.
It's bizarre because, again, they've gone a different way. The original series films, they have more of the show in them.
Yeah, exactly.
What
they
heart.
Well, I think Voyage Home is a great Star Trek film. You could see that kind of idea, them having that idea for the Kirk series, you know, because he did a bit of that where they travelled back to Earth during World War II or whatever. They went back to the 60s, didn't they, or something. So you can see that happening.
Yeah.
But obviously it needed the bigger scale to make it work. And I think it's a perfect Star Trek film.
Yeah.
Voyage Home.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I quite like Star Trek 5, Final
Frontier. I like Star Trek 5.
Spock's brother turning up.
Yeah, I've got nothing against Star Trek 5. And I think Spock's brother is great.
Yeah.
He's so terrifying because he's always smiling.
Yeah. He's the happy sort of psycho.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, completely opposite to Spock.
Yeah, exactly. So you've got that drama there.
Yeah.
And then even the bit where what's he called? What's his brother called? Is it Cybok? No.
Yeah, I think it's Cybok, yeah.
And he shows Bones and Kirk their greatest fears. He makes them relive their greatest fears, doesn't he? Like, you discover that Bones, his dad, died like 2 weeks before the cure for his disease was discovered. Yeah. You know, so he's got all this, like, you see the regret that he's got, and then Kirk has the same thing. I can't remember what Kirk's was.
He didn't get to bang some bird.
No. And then Spock's is represented by the fact that his dad never really, you know, cared for him because he was half human, you know. So it's got pretty weighty drama. Yeah.
His mum's.
But he's rejected the Vulcan way, and he has emotions.
All right. Okay.
Oh yeah, he's still part Vulcan. He's just kept his emotions.
Oh, that two parry. Oh,
he's a Romulan.
Could be.
That's all Romulans are.
Vulcans with emotions.
Yeah.
Spock's dad has that freak out, doesn't he, in his bed? You know, where, like, he gets so old that, like, all his emotions are, like, coming released.
Yeah.
And Picard goes in and he's like, listen to me, listen to me. God damn it, listen to me. And he's like, oh, freaking out. And then Picard just goes, Spock. And he goes, oh, Picard, it's you. Wakes up. So yeah, it's good Star Trek. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to watch one when I go home tonight.
I'm still adamant that the new films, they're doing it justice. It is what it is. I like the new films.
First one's alright.
First one's alright. I thought the second one was a bit of a repeat of the first one.
Well, yeah, but again, it's just, it's an alternate story, alternate timeline of
Wrath of Khan. No, I mean, it was a repeat of the first J.J. Abrams one. It just felt like they didn't try anything new. It was still like, there's a guy who's got a vendetta against, you know, one of the lead characters, and he's got a big ship, and you know, it's that, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm.
They didn't try anything completely different.
I don't know. They all, you're saying that. I mean, Khan, yeah, fair enough. But then you've got the Peter Weller character from within the Federation.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He's like a proper right wing nut job.
Yeah,
within. I know where you're coming from.
The third one be shit.
See, you're saying that. I mean, it does. I don't know. I'm looking forward to it just because I've enjoyed the first two. But it does look a lot more action orientated, like with the bits with the fucking crosses and.
Well, I read a thing that said. I read two things. I read one thing, Simon Pegg, saying that this is the one that will please Star Trek fans the most.
Right.
Whether that's a lie or not, I don't know. And another one.
Isn't
that another one where they said that they're actually.
Didn't Brent Spiner say that?
Possibly, yeah. And then another thing that they said where they said that they dismantle the idea of what Star Trek is. Whatever that means, I don't know. But, you know.
I think people already have a good idea of
what it was. So it's basically going to be like Lethal Weapon in space, because that's what it looks like from the trailer.
Yeah. But saying that, I don't know. I don't know what I see Star Trek as, to be fair.
Well, because that's one of the things I like about it. I know what I feel when I see it. I like the idea of that future where there's no currency.
Mm.
You know, people work because they're passionate about it. Or
there's like, I mean, to me, Star Trek.
Future.
To me, Star Trek's like a mix of adventure with mystery. And
well, I like it. The future's peaceful as well.
Yeah.
I mean, I know there's a lot of guff everywhere else, but like Earth is like
united.
It's like an ideal vision of like Earth, but the rest of the galaxy is fucked up.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's like something to actually protect.
Yeah, there's no racism or anything like that. Although there is, because some of them like
O'Brien doesn't like Cardassians, does he?
No, he doesn't.
He calls them Cardis.
Is that one with?
That's because he's fought. Because again, you find out that he's fought against them.
Yeah.
Like a fucking rebel.
He's like a Vietnam vet. He fucking hates the Cardis.
Well, he's ex-captain, it's more than me. He fucking blows up that ship. He's only blow up like three ships.
Oh, O'Brien's, yeah.
That's the episode, isn't it, I think, where Data controls a ship. Oh, it might be a different one. Data commands a ship and there's a guy in it.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't take orders from no fucking tin can. Well, he doesn't say that. Data like grills him. He's like, I'll relieve you if you do.
Yeah, he bollocks him, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He's like, do it!
Yeah, butts him with his tin head. Fucking knocks his neck off.
I don't know. It's one of those. Star Trek's just Star Trek to me, if you know what I mean. That's why I don't understand people not.
But it's getting the balance right. I mean, like Nemesis, too much fighting, not enough of anything else.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, I feel that like Star Trek VI has the balance really well because there's an element of mystery, discovery. there's like a political element to
it. Yeah, yeah.
Well, action was always just...
It's like, and I've said this before, it's like a submarine drama, you know, in terms of the way the ships fight each other. It's all very kind of like hit and miss, literally kind of thing. Yeah. You know, it's not just like ships flying about blasting each other to bits.
Yeah, but it's
more tension.
Again, it's a fully formed story sort of thing.
Yeah.
I see it as a... Like a nice blend of drama, like exploration and mystery, and the action is sort of like not an afterthought, but used as a consequence.
It's there for a reason. Yeah, it's like Picard only goes into battle if it's his absolute last option, and that's again, that's going back to being more of a realistic captain.
Yeah,
you don't just like blast
right against Kirk. He tries, but he's usually a shoot first.
Yeah,
ask questions later. Yeah. But again, that harks back to my thing of Kirk being like 100 years before Picard, so he's proper on the frontier.
Yeah, yeah.
Discovering things that Picard just is every day to him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Kirk's got more of a kind of cowboy attitude about it.
Well, Riker's like, Captain, you're not going to be going. Are you fucking mad? Send a couple of red ensigns. Send a couple of red shirts.
There's a green alien down there with big tits.
I'm down. Riker's there straight away. Where's he going?
We're getting on now, so we won't chat about the fucking Dirge, which is Voyager, or Enterprise. We'll
save that.
Who's your favourite character?
Favourite character?
Neelix. Or from any.
Just any.
Data. Hands down, Data. Fucking love him.
I'm going to go with Garak. I absolutely adore Garak, because he's a brilliant character. He's funny, he's terrifying. Yeah. He's got that episode that we were talking about before, where Worf being made to fart by the Jem'Hadar every single day, and Garak's trying to rewire something in the thing.
Yeah.
But then it comes out that because he's been imprisoned and tortured in the past due to one thing or another, he's got massive claustrophobia. So you're seeing weakness in him.
I
just think he's a really
they kind of like, they trickle his character out really slowly, and it's really... Like, I like O'Brien in Deep Space Nine.
He's a lot better in DS9 than he is. But I don't... Thing is, one, that's another thing I don't understand, is how he goes from being Transporter Chief in the next gen to fucking in charge, you know, Chief.
The thing is with O'Brien, he's not a Starfleet graduate.
No, he's not.
He's just an engineer who happens to work for Starfleet. He's not ranked or anything. So, when you think about it...
He's not commissioned officer, is
it? No, Deep Space Nine was just like a kind of tin can that they'd commandeered.
Yeah.
And so they wanted like the best engineers to be sent over, and he's just a good engineer, isn't he?
Yeah.
That's what he did. It's his vocation.
Yeah.
So he was just sent there.
Is his wife with him? Oh, she's
dead. Yeah. Kekko.
Oh, she is, right.
Yeah, she is.
Kekko.
No, she's not dead.
Not yet.
But they do have one of the most annoying children ever.
Who, Jake?
No, fucking O'Brien and Keiko.
Oh, that one, right, yeah.
Punch him in its face.
I like the one where his daughter goes missing. She goes through like a little portal on this planet, and he's trying to figure out how to get her back. And like Starfleet, they've come down and trying to convince him to like fucking give up. Like,
yeah.
And he gets wound up and he throws his spanner across this cave and he just goes, bollocks! O'Brien,
bollocks.
Yeah. He says bollocks.
Fucking hell.
But probably Data in the show.
Fuck Q was your favourite.
Eh?
Fuck Q was your favourite.
I do like, out of the crew, like.
Right, okay.
You know, I mean, Q's a great character, obviously, but you don't see enough of him. But I like Data's journey, should we say.
That's one of the things that I like about Q in the next gen, as opposed to Voyager. In Voyager, Q seems to turn up too much.
Mm.
For me, anyway.
Yeah.
If you're flicking telly and Voyager's on, do you stay with it?
Depends what episode it is.
Right, okay.
You can usually tell if it's an episode that you can... You know what I mean? Hey, don't get me wrong, certain episodes are actually really cool.
Mm.
It's just the majority of it's shite.
Right, okay.
But again, like I said, I will, if it's on, Trek.
Mm.
Cool. Enterprise, I won't. I don't.
Enterprise was bad.
You tell it's going to be a bad Star Trek, though, the fact that it had lyrics on its title music. Yeah. You don't have lyrics on a Trek fucking title music.
No. And then they started doing, like, they kind of started jumping the shark pretty early with that. Well, like, they had an episode with Dean Stockwell in it, so it was like the Quantum Leap.
Yeah. And then they had the whole thing with aliens in World War Two, and
yeah, and then they put Brent Spiner in a couple of episodes, didn't they? As an ancestor of the guy that created Data.
Yeah, he's like a dissident, isn't he? Yeah, just right
soon.
Yeah, soon, but he's called, I can't remember what he's called.
Was part of the, isn't it part of the fucking eugenics?
Yeah, he's part of that. Yeah.
He's basically the people. He's one of the people who comes up with Khan.
Yeah.
Comes up with what?
Khan.
Oh, right, okay.
Because the character Khan's from the eugenics war, when they were breeding super soldiers.
See, now I have to watch Enterprise because it's got Brent Spiner in.
You only have to watch one episode.
Yeah. Right, okay. I'll watch that one then.
Yeah, find out what it's called. Watch that one. Do what you got to do.
I forgot about the theme. Yeah, the theme's shite, isn't it?
Hey? Yeah.
The theme is shite.
Yeah.
Enterprise. Voyager's my favourite theme, though.
Voyager?
Yeah, it's got my favourite theme. Mm. First one's alright. I mean,
I like Next Gen.
Well, don't get me wrong, Next Gen's Deep fucking awesome, good. But...
They kind of vamped it up a little bit in Deep Space Nine, though, don't they? It went from like this kind of really slow kind of dirge, and then they put like a in the background of the theme tune, just kind of like bring it to life a bit.
I don't know where to go from there.
I don't
know. Oh?
Yeah, it's almost 2 hours long.
Wow. Star Trek special, done. We don't need to talk about Star Trek ever again.
But we will.
And we didn't mention the other one.
Which one?
Star Wars.